What's going on, Eagles fans? Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Lou DiBiase joining you on this Monday edition of the show, November 19th. Joined as always by my co-host Gino Camilleri. Probably not feeling too hot on this Monday after what was probably, for me, Gino, the worst loss. And we've experienced those 2015 blowouts against the Lions and the Buccaneers. But against the Saints yesterday, that might have been the worst game I've ever watched as an Eagles fan.
Yeah, that's up there. I mean,
it's got to be top. Just because of, like, Sanchez was the quarterback back then.
I was going to go to that Tampa game that I was at against Mark Sanchez. That was bad. Yeah, that was bad. But the thing with New Orleans is they have the best team in football right now. So it's like if you weren't on your game, you knew it could get out of control real fast. And that's what happened. Like as soon as they didn't convert that 3rd and 3 after we stopped them to a field goal, I was like, this game's over.
It was kind of, it reminded me a little bit of not the way the game ended up at all. But the way it was going kind of reminded me of the Super Bowl when early on you could see that, okay, this Eagles defense is not going to be able to hold them when it comes to yards. And this Eagles offense is going to have to stay on the field. They're going to have to be aggressive. They're going to have to go for it on fourth down. And quickly, before you could blink your eyes, it was a 17-point deficit. That really was over from the jump. And look, this is, I mean, we expected the Saints to be in the 35 to 50 point range with how good this offense is playing. But I did not. I expected the Eagles to come in with more fight than that. I know on the road, that's a tough test against Drew Brees is playing out of his mind. Give him credit before we even get into all the Eagles problems throughout this week when we dive into all the issues of this 4-6 team that we've really been talking about all year. Drew Brees was slinging it yesterday. Alvin Kamara was balling out. Michael Thomas. That Saints defense against the run, taking us out as if we've ever had a run game this season. But they were looking like the Super Bowl team that I picked in the summer. They've been this good really since, I mean, before that Buccaneers Week 1 game. Seems like an anomaly now. They hats off to the Saints. They look like the Eagles of 2017. But, Gino, this was a game that, for me at least, I circled this one on the schedule when the season first started and in the summer and when the schedule came out. This game, the game against the Rams, the game against the Vikings, you know, you got Deshaun Watson and the Texans taking on the Eagles soon this season. These were some of the games that I circled, and I wanted to see that 2017 version of this Eagles team take on these juggernauts because it was going to be so fun to watch Carson Wentz go up against Drew Brees and Jared Goff and that Vikings defense, right? And it was just, the NFC was seen as the NBA West, basically. It was seen as the Western Conference in the NBA where there was all these dynamic, dominant teams, and I thought the Eagles were one of them, and I still, despite everything that's happened this year, cannot believe that we are in this position talking about one of the worst losses in Eagles history.
It's definitely up there. I think Ray Didinger said today it was one of the 10 worst losses he's ever seen, and he's been around the Eagles organization for since God knows when. So that's just saying how bad it was. And my best friend is a Saints fan, unfortunately. And fortunately, we didn't make the trip down to the game like we had planned on about a year and a half ago.
I felt really bad for you if you did that.
Oh, man. I don't think I could have. I would have walked out probably 10 minutes into the game because that was just putrid. But first off, we have to address that no matter if it was the Saints or Minnesota last year in the NFC Championship game, the Eagles were not going to lose.
No, they had all the momentum.
We had to get that out of the way. But just like the 2017 Eagles team last year that beat up on crappy teams week in and week out, New Orleans beat up on a crappy team like they're supposed to do when you're the best team in football right now. I have a big conspiracy theory that it's going to be Brees versus Brees versus Brady in the Super Bowl and finally going to get that premier matchup that they've always wanted, and Brees is going to ride out into the sunset and win the Super Bowl. Just a weird conspiracy theory I have, but it's not a conspiracy since they're so freaking good and they could score at will and could put a special teams player in there and throw up dimes and just absolutely shred a defense that a year ago could not even be penetrated, and now they're down to their 6th and 7th cornerback and the offense literally cannot do anything. That Doug Peterson forgot how to call plays, forgot to go for it on fourth and short. Just everything that could have went wrong went wrong. And to think of the worst case scenario, yesterday was the worst case scenario. And there's a lot of blame to go around in this game. There's a lot of blame to go around in this season, but I'm just at a loss for words after yesterday. I figured 35 would be a solid number to lose by, but to lose in the fashion that they did and just not even put up a fight was just embarrassing.
Yeah, me and you ranked this week. We talked about why this Eagles team has gone off the rails like they have, and a lot of it was injuries, regression in coaching. A lot of the players, the stars that were part of that championship run last year, have not been nearly the same players this year. And we ranked all these different factors. And it really seemed like in this game, everything just happened at once. All of these factors just went full force that were holding this Eagles team back. I mean, again, like you said, there was a point where the Eagles were playing without their first five corners that they started the season with. Jalen Mills out, Ronald Darby out, Sidney Jones, Maddox, and Rasul Douglas, those were your three corners heading into this game. They all got injured and were all out for the game. Now Sidney Jones is week-to-week, Rasul Douglas is day-to-day. Maddox, I've heard, is day-to-day. I've also seen that he's week-to-week, so we'll see what's going on with Avante Maddox. But when you have a Hall of Fame quarterback that's playing the best football of his life in Drew Brees, you have an elite running back in Alvin Kamara. Michael Thomas is an elite wide receiver. And you're going up against Chandon Sullivan and give me some other LeBlanc.
Cravon LeBlanc and Devontae Bosby.
I don't even know how to say his name.
In the little time he had, but yeah, it was not pretty.
They're playing practice squad corners. I have never seen anything like this Eagles injury problem. I've never seen a team go through it. It's crazy. Specifically the secondary, I've never
when
seen
your
team...
long snapper is getting hurt, right. Like that's when you know it's bad. Like what are the odds? It was just a mess.
Right, like so they've had injuries everywhere. Jordan Hicks now is week to week. They've had injuries at every single position, but it's that on top of I've never seen a team lose literally everybody at one position. The Eagles again, listen to how crazy this is. All five. It's not like it's just two or three corners, five of the top five corners on the Eagles depth chart heading into this season were all injured.
That's outrageous.
I mean, we play the Giants next week. If that's the case next week, or maybe you just get Maddox back or Jalen Mills, they might not even beat the Giants. You cannot win a single football game. I don't care who's on your team. If those corners are out there covering Odell Beckham next week, I don't feel good about that win. I don't feel good about anything because that Eagles defense could not make a stop. It was the injuries. It was coaching. Gino, you mentioned how the Eagles didn't convert and Doug Peterson didn't go for it on fourth down. He wasn't aggressive. Carson Wentz, we're going to get into in the second segment because there's a lot of crazy takes out there again on this Monday, which is typical in Eagles media so far this season, so we're going to get into that. But there's no running game at all this year. It just all came full force. It all just happened at once. Everything that we've been talking about that's wrong with this Eagles team, it was all the major... They all just came up to the surface at one time in a crucial game.
Yeah, it basically encapsulated every single thing that was bad with this team. It was just a wreck from head to toe. I mean, I think a bad precedent was set early in the year, even before the season started with injuries, when Tim Jernigan, who you were going to rely pretty heavily on, went down to a mysterious injury that we still don't know much about. Then the season goes on. You pick up a guy like Mike Wallace to replace a guy in Torrey Smith who you traded. He's hurt second week into the season. You keep going. You're shot at defensive tackle, and then your offensive line starts to get depleted. Jason Peters still is not playing at 100%. Lane Johnson isn't at 100%. Then Jalen Mills gets hurt. Ronald Darby's done for the year. Sidney Jones is hurt. Rodney McLeod is out. I hate using injuries as an excuse, but this is just insurmountable. You cannot win with street free agent cornerbacks against an first ballot unanimous Hall of Fame quarterback who's playing at the best level he's played all year with the best weapons he's maybe ever had. It's just not going to happen.
Right. Last year you won a championship despite injuries, but there was a couple. I mean, they were key players, yeah, Doug but said there that was today. Only a few. You cannot
overcome.
You said
there was one at each position.
Right. You can't overcome the quality of injuries last year. They were really good players, but it's quantity this year. Everyone is getting hurt at different positions. Like, it's not the, and I don't want to, again, like you just said, I don't want to excuse this 2018 Eagles team, but even if they were playing close to their level last year, it would be hard to come back from all these injuries.
Yeah, absolutely. When you got guys like T.Y. McGill and Trayvon Hester that have to plug up the middle, and Haloti Ngata, like, it, Fletcher Cox can only do so much. I saw one crazy take that you should trade Fletcher Cox. What, so teams can rush for 300 yards against us? Like, what do you expect to happen? Like, your core guys are doing their jobs, but one, the depth has not been there this year, mostly in part to injury, and second off, we can get into this down the road and when we get closer to draft season, They haven't hit on anybody in the last three drafts outside of a couple pieces. I mean, I know you love your boy Rasul Douglas, but God,
I know. Oh, my brand,
dude, it
has
is
been,
bad.
I'm not even just taking a hit to my brand. My brand has almost, I've almost had to go out of business.
It's decimated, dude.
It was tough.
You don't hit on that. You're struggling to keep your offensive line in order. They just cannot figure it out. Brian Baldinger does an excellent job breaking down offensive line. And that third and three play, like, people want to put that onus on Carson Wentz that it was his fault. Like, they had a seven-man protection, and you couldn't get separation one, and there was just no blitz at all, and they allow Carson Wentz to get sacked. Like, just everything that could go wrong went wrong, and it's just continuing to go wrong, and nobody's being held accountable for this. Like, I know there's injuries, but at some point, Doug has to say, okay, X, Y, and Z, like, they're not stepping up. Like, coaching staff, like, you're not stepping up. He says he's not stepping up, but I like to think about, I know many people probably won't get this analogy, but look up Ryan O'Reilly. He plays currently for the St. Louis Blues, but he played for the Buffalo Sabres last year. He'd always say, oh, it's my fault, it's my fault. Like, sometimes it's okay to point out other guys' fault. Like, you have to. This is the NFL. Like, these are grown men.
Right, you
like,
don't want to go Chip Kelly level of blaming execution every time, but there's some point where you want to at least light a fire under them.
Yeah, you have to. Like, I mean, you can't be happy with, like, how Malcolm Jenkins covered that wheel route on Alvin Kamara. Like, and he's one of your leaders. Like, call him out. I'm sure he can accept it. Like, I'm sure Carson Wentz can accept some responsibility. Like, but
call
you just
out Nigel
can't
Branham
say
and Jordan Hicks. I mean, these guys have been – Nigel Branham, again, was terrible in coverage yesterday, and that's supposed to be one of his strong suits. Those guys have been huge disappointments all season long.
Dude, yeah, there's just – everybody's just – been so disappointing, and the blame is on the wrong, we're just too divisive, and just nothing's going right. Like, when this team needs to, like, buckle up and get together and, like, take the onus and take the burden off of the other, like, take defense, take care of the offense, take care of the defense, nobody does it. Like, the defense goes and gets a stop, and then what do you know, they get a three and out, like, get taken out of field, good field position, you're down 10 points, you have a chance to score a touchdown, you take a sack. Like, you that stuff can't happen. And we saw it last year when everything that could go right went right, and this year it's somebody sold their soul to the devil, man, because everything that could go wrong is literally
seriously. Maybe it was Jim Schwartz that just went to the devil and said, look, you can have me after this year, but let's get that ring. Because
seriously,
it looks like, again, everything, this was not a scenario I anticipated at all heading into the season. And Gino, before we get to our next segment, it's, for me, last thought, it's why I'm so glad that I didn't give in to the shame of celebrating the Super Bowl championship up until even through the season starting. Because Emmanuel Acho, a former Eagles linebacker, tweeted it out. It's about how important it is to capitalize on winning it all when you have that opportunity, because you never know when you're going to get back there. And for me, I don't regret one bit soaking in every single moment of that championship season, because now we're going through this, and there's no way anyone expected that Eagles team coming into this season. No one. There's not a single person to me that would have expected this kind of collapse after winning a championship. It's been chaotic. It has been a mess, and it's why, to me, again, I know people are shaming, and they're talking about maybe a possible Super Bowl hangover. Is that a factor in this? You know, did they celebrate too much for too long? But there was also that was kind of being turned on fans. And for me, there's no shame in that for me as a fan. I'm still reveling in that because now we got to go through this. It's why I didn't give into it at all, and I'm so glad I didn't, because you never know when we're in a situation like this now where people are already looking at mock drafts. We're going into week 12. Coming up next on the Locked On Eagles podcast, myself and Gino, we're going to get into Carson Wentz, because he's been receiving, whether it's deserved or undeserved, he's been taking the heat today on Eagles Twitter. That's coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles, brought to you by MyBookie. Guys, ever since we started this podcast, people have been asking us for advice, and usually it's on what team to bet on this week. And look, the truth is, we don't know who's going to win, but if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. They've been in business for years, they got great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. They've got in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. So join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, and you get paid. MyBookie will match the listener's first deposit 100% up to $1,000. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Eagles. Louis DiBiase alongside my co-host Gino Camilleri on this Monday edition, diving into the Eagles' struggles at 4-6 after a blowout loss in New Orleans to what could be the eventual Super Bowl champion Saints if they continue to play this way. And part of that is because of an MVP candidate in Drew Brees. And the Eagles, just a year ago, had an MVP candidate of their own at quarterback in Carson Wentz.
People forget.
People forget. And clearly they have forgotten today, Gino, because Carson Wentz has taken some heat by Eagles media today. And look, everyone's taken heat from the Eagles, and everyone deserves heat. Carson Wentz deserves part of the heat for this 4-6 start. He does.
Yeah, but you can't. But to put the entire blame on him is ridiculous.
The takes today, it's been kind of happening all year, though, really. People like to, they see this little opening, a little problem, and they like to blow it up, right? It was kind of the same thing with Carson Wentz being clutch right after that Panthers game. Me and you kind of had to hose down that fire as well. And I feel like we have to do it again, because now the conversation is, well, Carson Wentz, has he regressed in 2018? Are his numbers kind of lying about his performance? Can he play against big-time quarterbacks and big-time offenses? And it really seems like people are going way too far with the Carson Wentz hate today.
Do people forget that we had Kevin Cobb dubbed as our franchise quarterback? Michael Vick dubbed as the next guy.
Someone
Nick Foles
thought Mark Sanchez could be the long-term answer.
Sam Bradford. Just think about these names. Think about how long we've searched for a franchise quarterback that could bring us a Super Bowl. We had one, and he didn't bring us one. Donovan McNabb. You see how many teams have looked for quarterbacks. Look at the Browns. Look at the Bills. Look at the Jets. Look at how long these guys are searching to get a guy. To get not just a guy, but the guy.
Yep.
The Eagles finally have the guy, and they're treating him as just a guy. Fairweather fans, because there are plenty of them on Eagles Twitter, need to go away. If you're not going to support this team through the ups and downs, just go away. Like, there's no need for this negativity, especially for a guy like Carson Wentz, who wears his pride on his sleeve. You saw how angry he was getting.
I've never seen him that fired up. You can tell, man, because, too, he saw what happened last year. I mean, last year, the way his season ended, with how good he was playing, and then the Eagles win a championship, he's all in on this season. You can tell how much he cares about this season because of what he lost last year. And you could see that when he threw his helmet coming off the sidelines.
Dude, yeah, exactly. And that's what I said in the section prior. Like, this means everything to him. He wants to win. At North Dakota State, he won 3 national championships. Like, this dude, all he knows is winning. You don't think he goes out there and battles his ass off every single week?
Yep.
And to put the blame on him is ridiculous. Look at their running game right now. They don't even have a guy who rushes for 300 yards, and they're in week 10. You have to average 30 yards a week to get to 300 yards in 10 weeks. Like, come on. Give the guy some freaking credit. When they're running plays where there's zero separation and he's getting sacked when you're in max protection, like, there's literally nothing he can do about it. That ball to Nelson Agholor, yes, he should have realized the pressure was coming, but Lattimore made an unbelievable play.
And truthfully, if he doesn't underthrow that, he might lead Agholor past both defenders.
Yeah, dude, yeah, you can't put the blame on this guy. I mean, how much of the burden do you want him to carry? Do you want him to throw 60 times a game? No, you don't, because I tweeted out earlier today, in 37 career games, Wentz has thrown 40 or more times in 12 of those games. You want to know what his record is in those games? 2-10. In games when he's thrown less than 40 passes, he's 19-6. Oh, you might say, okay, that's just Carson Wentz. No, let's look at one of the greatest quarterbacks ever to play, Aaron Rodgers. In the same metrics as that, in 176 games, yep, he's thrown for 40 more or more times in 45 of those games. You want to know what his record is? 16-28-1. And he has a 95-36 record in games when he's thrown less than 40 times. You want to say a quarterback needs to take it all on himself? You cannot look at Carson Wentz and expect him to do any more than he is currently doing. You have to find balance. You have to find better play calls. You have to have your defense make a stop on 4th and freaking 15. Like, come on. You're going to put all this onus on this guy who is literally battling day in and day out and studying the playbook every single day and trying to make every play possible. Like, look at these plays when he's getting taken to the ground and throwing across his body to Jordan Matthews. You think Nick Foles is making that play? You think Sam Bradford is making that play? Get out of here with that. He is the franchise quarterback. He is the guy. Give him more weapons. Give him a running back like Alvin freaking Kamara that he could hand the ball off to. But no, we draft Danelle Pumphrey.
It doesn't
like,
even have
on.
To be Alvin Kamara. Like, give me Tevin Coleman. Give me something.
You cannot.
Kenyon Drake. Anyone.
I want Sam Bradford to be in an Eagles uniform, and he's checking down on 3rd
this
and 11
and not
taking shots.
This team would probably have 2 wins. If Sam Bradford was the quarterback,
they might not even have a win.
Right, yeah.
They might not even have a win. Like, people take this kid for granted so much, and it's just so unbelievable. We live up in Buffalo, so you know how radical Bills fans are. But they will battle to the death for Josh Allen. They will go to bat for that kid. And he's played, what, 3 games? And he's not a great prospect by any stretch of the imagination. But they realize how bad they've had it for so many years. And maybe they have the guy. The Eagles had a guy who was on pace to beat Tom Brady for an MVP, be on pace to throw more than 40 touchdowns, and started the season 11-2, single-handedly won you home field advantage against the Rams, who might win the Super Bowl this year. You want to talk about him not being the guy? You have zero idea what you're talking about, and I'm not afraid to call people out on it because it is an absolutely ludicrous take. He is the franchise quarterback. Enough of the Carson Wentz nonsense, yeah, and just realize that you need balance in your run, in your play calls. It's just as simple as that.
I think part of, yeah, and absolutely, if people don't think he's the guy, and if that is what people are starting to question, I think you're out of your mind. What I've seen a lot today so far is when the conversation goes to, can he carry a team? And there was a stat from the Philadelphia Inquirer who wrote a piece about, when is Carson Wentz going to carry a team when everyone else is struggling like guys like Aaron Rodgers do? There was a stat that came out that if the other team scores more than 26 points, the Eagles are 1-11 when Carson Wentz is the starter. I went into that stat because stats can be misused very irresponsibly to force narratives.
Any narrative, yep.
8 of those losses were in his rookie season when Peterson
Shocking.
Wasn't nearly the play caller he was. The Eagles' offense had no weapons at all. Remember Doriel Green Beckham, everybody? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Josh Huff, remember him? Yeah. Nelson Aguilar,
no
17.
Running game? They had
yeah,
no
Ryan
running
Matthews.
Game then, too? Like, come
Wentz,
on.
And Wentz also wasn't close to the player he was now. His mechanics were kind of funky still a little bit, and he was not nearly developed the way he is. So the take right now is that he can't carry this Eagles team when the other aspects of the team are struggling. Well, I pulled up some stats of my own in the last 2 seasons because I think they're more important. They should be weighted more than 2016. I think 2016 should count, absolutely, but I think you should put more stock when talking about this argument in the past 2 seasons. In the last 2 seasons with Wentz under center, when both the Eagles and their opponent scores over 20 points a game, which I feel like if both teams are scoring 20-plus points, this is a back-and-forth, close, high-scoring game. Philadelphia is 7-4. They're 6-4, excuse me, and they're 6-4 with Wentz in 1 or 2 score games where both teams exceed 20 points. And
the Rams game last year.
Yep. In those games, Wentz is averaging 275 passing yards and 2.6 touchdowns in those games. The point is that, to me, Wentz needs to be more consistent in those games. I feel like there are times where he makes a bad call, he's trying to press. I feel like right now what he's doing is trying to make up for bad play calling, bad offensive line play, no run game. And I feel like that's causing him to make mistakes. Is he making those mistakes? Absolutely. But the factors of him making those mistakes are the team around him, the offense around him. Yes, Aaron Rodgers. Yes, Andrew Luck. Those kind of players. Carson Wentz even has done it before. He did it just a couple weeks ago in Jacksonville, where he has made up for the shortcomings of another team. But no one has made that a consistent week-by-week thing. Aaron Rodgers has not been back to the Super Bowl since 2010. It's been 8 years. Why? Because of the ineptitude of their coaching staff, the failure for the Packers to consistently build talent around him. Does Rodgers do it every so often, every 4 weeks, where they pull out a game out of a hat? Yeah, they do. But it's not a consistent formula for anyone. You can't possibly expect Wentz, with all the injuries they have, no run game, a significantly regressed coaching staff, a significantly regressed offensive line, no run game at all. The chemistry with Alshon is off, with Nelson Aguilar. You can't expect all those things to happen and Wentz every week to try to pull you out of those flames. He has done it so far this year, too. So I'm not even saying he hasn't done it. It's got to be more consistent. He hasn't done it at times, but he also has done it more times than maybe he should have. And there's also times where they've fallen short, where he still, to me, accounts where he has pulled them out of that fire. Just last week against Dallas, it was 27-20, and Wentz went back and forth with the Cowboys offense in the fourth quarter, tying that game up when the Eagles defense was letting Dallas do literally everything and anything to them. So to me, it's this little problem that you want to see be more consistent. That consistency is also going to be brought by the other members of the team getting their act together. It's this little factor that the media and that fans are blowing up into this huge argument for the sake of clicks, for the sake of argument and discussion, and because people are very upset right now because they have a guy like Carson Wentz and they have guys that won a Super Bowl last year and they're 4-6. So I think, Gino, our responsibility today was to put a fire on the Carson, or is to put water on the fire that has been the Carson Wentz talk today.
Yeah, and the thing that killed everybody and made it so ridiculous is that Sean Payton came out and said he wants to put the burden on Carson Wentz's shoulder, and people completely misconstrued what he meant by that. It goes into the factor that you can't have him throw it 40 times a game, and they understand that. This team is so one-dimensional. When you can have max protect with no back in the backfield and still have a team like get in you on you a blitz because they can just drop guys into coverage because they know you're not going to run the ball, like, it's completely understandable. Like, he literally cannot do anything, and you know that there are two distinct Carson Wentz. There's the comfortable Carson Wentz who gets into a rhythm, who can sit in the pocket, who can make plays outside of the pocket, who just puts dimes on his receivers, who is relaxed and confident. And then there's the Carson Wentz that presses, who throws that ball to Nelson Aguilar in 2016 against Detroit, who makes throws that are higher because his mechanics are off because he's not settled into the game. He throws 3 interceptions and 0 touchdowns. Like, they're two different players. And Sean Payton said it exactly. You cannot have him carry that team. It's not because he's not a good quarterback. It's because you have to. You make this team so one-dimensional because you rely so much on him. When you have to hand the ball off to Josh Adams, who is not a feature back, he's a good player, but when you don't have a threat like a Jay Ajayi, and then you could throw it to LeGarrette Blount, and then you could put Corey Clement in there, who was super explosive last year. Like, teams know what you're going to do, and any good defensive coordinator is, okay, we'll drop 8 into coverage, and you beat us because you're not going to run
the ball.
Also, like, common sense.
Yeah, and Wentz has carried still, regardless of that run game. They have not had it all season, and there's still been times where the Eagles nearly or do pull off the win because of Carson Wentz. Like, I look at that Jacksonville game, he wasn't going to be denied in the second half. I look at, he almost did it against Carolina. He almost did it against Dallas, and it's almost because of the shortcomings of really everyone else. And it's also on Wentz, too. I'm more so concerned with the slow start. It's the scripted plays with the coaching staff is not working. Carson Wentz is making poor decisions in the first quarter. Those are issues that we got to talk about with Carson Wentz and this team, but it's not Carson Wentz can't carry this football team. He's like the concern about Wentz right now, to me, should be simmered down to a significant degree, because the overreaction theater today has been crazy. Let's take one more break here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, Monday, November 19th edition. We'll wrap up the show up next. All right, everybody, welcome back as myself, Louis DiBiase, and Gino Camilleri wrap up today's edition of Locked On Eagles. Gino, some final thoughts here. I think the takes today about Carson Wentz were nuts. I think people right now are they're knotted up, they're upset, they're angry, and Carson Wentz is the face of this team, and people like to give the quarterback all the credit, and sometimes not to their what they deserve. And right now, what he really doesn't deserve, but he's still getting it, is a lot of criticism for yesterday, for not just for yesterday, but the entirety of this season. And I will give him criticism for yesterday. That was the worst game I've seen Carson Wentz play. But people are now taking that take about just yesterday's performance, and they're making it into a career thing for Wentz. And to me, my final thought is that to me is irresponsible.
To extrapolate anything after the worst loss in the era of Doug Peterson, or any football team for that matter, is completely outlandish. I mean, look at guys like Odell Beckham, who go like a week where he has one catch and for 8 yards. Like, oh, is he a bad wide receiver? No. Is Carson Wentz a bad quarterback? No. Did he have a bad game yesterday? Absolutely. And you know what part of that reason was? Is because he wanted to compete and he wanted to try and push the envelope, and that's not who he is. He has to settle into a rhythm. He has to have a consistent running game like every other quarterback. I now understand why Green Bay Packers fans have been miserable for so many years, is because they never gave Rodgers a running back. And finally they do with Aaron Jones, and they're still losing games.
Do you agree with me that, real quick, do you agree with me that Wentz, he can force things and he can go all out, streetballer-esque, within the offense when he gets into a rhythm, whereas yesterday he was bringing that mentality immediately and just the offense was not following him in that direction, where he's trying to force things that simply weren't there, as opposed to he's making crazy plays like he was trying to yesterday, but it was after really the offense got going.
Yep, and that's exactly it. And I don't think that the first 15 plays, which just boggles my mind that you have a week to script them, sometimes 2 weeks, and you can't get anything going, that they're just not in a rhythm. And Carson excels when he's in a rhythm, and they excel when they can get into a little bit of hurry up and catch the defense off guard. But like I've said in the past, I think Carson operates a split second faster than everybody else. And when they're not up to snuff with him, it turns into problems. And you saw that yesterday, like that Aguilar ball. Like, if Aguilar cuts to the right side, he perfectly beats his defender, and Marshawn Lattimore is not even involved in that play, you know? Like, stuff like that. But you just have to realize how good we have it. Like, you could have a Sam Darnold who might turn out to be the guy. You can have a Baker Mayfield who might turn out to be the guy. You can have a Josh Allen that, by a slim margin, might turn out to be the guy. We have the guy. For once, people, we don't have a Sam Bradford. We have a ginger Jesus who will bring us another Super Bowl. Just be patient. And like the great Aaron Rodgers once said, R-E-L-A-X, relax. And on that, have a good day, folks, because, man, there's not much good to see out of this week. But just realize this team will right the ship. They will get back on track. Howie will do Howie this offseason. Doug will figure it out. They didn't win a Super Bowl because they were bad coaches, bad front office, and bad players. They know what they're doing.
I think that's a good way to end it, Gino. That's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Myself and Gino Camilleri will be back tomorrow to continue to get into things as to why this Eagles team is 4-6. There's a lot of facts, there's a lot of talking points to get into, and then we'll move on to this Sunday's matchup against the New York Giants with Crossover Wednesday with Locked On Giants. All that and more. Got four more podcasts to go this week, maybe even more, right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. For my co-host Gino Camilleri, this is Louis DiBiase signing off. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino_LOE. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. And let's go, Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.